All right, it is the home team, maybe the home team junior, if you will, presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. David Johnston and Ross Crowell along with you. Jeff and Chris are both out today and tomorrow. And I think Chris is even out on Monday. As you know, Christmas is less than 2 weeks away. So we're getting closer and closer here. But we're happy to be along with you. Tomorrow will be Sam and Tyler at this time. And we're less than 2 weeks from Christmas. We're also less than a week away from what I'm calling now National Signing Day, the first day of the early signing period. And next Wednesday, stop by the Blind Pig Tavern on the east side of town. And also thanks to the good folks at Five Market Realty and Dr. Pepper. From 6 until 10, the morning show will be at the Blind Pig Tavern on the east side. And then we'll step away as the Lady Dogs play Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. And then the home team will be back there 4 to 7 at the Blind Pig. That is next Wednesday on the east side of town. Somebody called and left a message on my like desk phone, and they were like, hey, are y'all doing anything? And usually when someone calls, you're like, all right, here, my name is so-and-so, and here's my number. Call me back. Let me know if you're doing anything. But it was just like, y'all doing anything? Hopefully you guys are. This is now the big signing day. Right? And then just they hung up. So it was like, hopefully you're listening. But, yes, we are doing something. And love it. It's a whole lot of fun. National Signing Day. Are we going to have any recruiting coming up here in the 5 at 5 potentially? If we do, we do. If we don't, we don't.
No, we don't.
Okay, but we will before the show ends.
Okay, cool.
I can tell you that. We will definitely. And it's already been a good week for the Dogs, as George has already gotten a verbal commitment from five-star offensive lineman Clay Webb out of Oxford, Alabama. Are you a country music guy, Ross?
Somewhat, yeah.
Because doesn't Clay Webb sound like a guy that's on the radio?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me. Clay Webb, country music star. So 19 verbal commitments for Georgia and several that are still out there that the Dogs are trying to land. All right, the 5 at 5 is brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Ross, fire away when ready.
All right, so I know you've mentioned a couple times during the updates that the Falcons have been struggling last five straight. What changes do you see the Falcons making on their coaching staff this offseason?
Offensive coordinator.
Okay.
Do you agree?
I hope so.
Sark, I thought, had a rough year last year. I thought this year started out better, but it's tailed off again. Now, granted, how much have the injuries taken their toll on this team? When we think of the injuries that the Falcons have had this year, you think of the guys that have been hurt on defense. But on offense, losing both guards and Devontae Freeman hasn't helped at all. Although Ryan still had a good year, but I don't know. It's just it hasn't been good, I guess, the last few weeks. I mean, they are in a five-game losing streak.
Yeah.
And what happened earlier in the year, even they lost those guys, they were getting in these shootouts, but they weren't winning those. I guess, what, the Saints got them? Was that an overtime loss? And then they also had that what was that high? There was another high-scoring loss that they had early in the season. I guess it was the one to the Bengals. Remember, that was – yeah, so the Saints beat them 43-37 in overtime. And then the Bengals beat them 37-36 the following week. And then they gave up 41 in that terrible road game to the Steelers. And then they came back and won three in a row. And I thought their best game of the year was that one when they beat the Redskins up in Washington. But they've lost five in a row since then.
Well, you had three
and they've
in
looked
a row.
Worse and worse.
Yeah, you had three in a row wins. And you got the Browns. And
you're
okay, this should be four in a row. Maybe
they laid an
playoffs
egg.
Or wild cards a possibility. Yeah. And then, no, it's gone downhill from there. Really
Although
fast.
The Browns aren't as horrible as they were. But that was one the Falcons really, you know, they had circled. If we're going to have a shot at the playoffs, we got to win this game. But then Baker Mayfield said he woke up that morning feeling, what was it?
Dangerous. Yeah.
And he wasn't lying. And then they had that close loss to the Cowboys. And then they had that game that Thanksgiving night against the Saints. They weren't going to win that game.
It was frustrating watching it. Yeah. They gave you just a little hope all game. Like, yeah. Maybe this could happen. And then,
but they shot themselves in the foot, yeah. Right? Because they ended up, I know what they had, Matt Ryan had a turnover inside the 10. Julio had that fumble around the, what, inside the 15. And Ridley dropped that pass. Or, I know, he caught the pass and was running the end zone, and then he fumbled right at the goal line.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff going on that game.
I'll tell you this. This is weird. This happens. And I apologize because no one cares about your fantasy football team, your own fantasy football team except yourself. But the guy I was playing that night had Ridley. And Ridley dropped that we were in such a close game that I ended up winning. Had Ridley gone that extra yard and scored, he would have beat me. And then on top of that, he missed the playoffs in our league. He would have made the playoffs.
Wow. That's crazy.
So, I mean, that's just weird stuff. But, yeah, I mean, that's what I think of when I think of that game. And then, you know, against the Ravens and then this past weekend against the Packers. I don't know. Are they going to beat the Cardinals? I mean, Vegas says they're like an 8.5-point favorite, which sounds like
Cardinals are really bad.
They are. They are. But they did win at Green Bay.
Yeah. Got McCarthy fired.
And the Falcons didn't. Exactly. Got McCarthy fired. And the Falcons did not win at Green Bay. So I don't know. But anyway, I think Sark, I'm sure Dan Quinn is going to have to, you know, to keep his job. He's like, he's going to have to get a new offensive coordinator. And then were you asking about coaches or just any changes?
Yeah, coach. I mean, if you think there's any other change that needs to be made, well, that'd be big.
I mean, the draft, do you think they should get another try to get – I mean, if they're drafting like – I mean, I hope they keep losing so they might have a shot at getting Quinn and Williams.
Yeah, I would go offensive line no matter
but
what.
But, I mean, yeah, the offensive line could use some help too.
I mean, it's bad.
They bench Schrader – this past weekend, and the guy that they started for him gives up, like, more sacks per play or per 100 snaps or something nutty. Like, he's one of the worst in the league at that.
Dang.
And he's the one that they put in ahead of Schrader. And then with the guards being out, I mean, it's definitely taking its toll. But, yeah, you could argue offensive lineman or – defensive line, but if they could get, I mean, if they could somehow get Williams, pair him up with Jarrett,
yeah, it'd be nice.
And then,
it'd be nice.
You know, McKinley looks like he's coming on. Do you think they'll cut Beasley? He might be a guy
maybe
that they might
yeah
let go.
Yeah, they could.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you think about it, secondary, when the guys are healthy, should be pretty solid.
I mean, the thing is, it's like Trufant is really good, and
Neal's
Alford
really
is,
good, yeah,
you know, he's Alford, but not having Keanu Neal. Not having who they lose on the other side.
Gosh.
They've lost both safeties.
Yeah, two safeties out.
And, you know, not having Deion – I know Deion Jones is back, but not having him for most of the season. I think the Falcons almost feel like they'd be in a situation where if they got these guys back next year, added another piece on the defense, suddenly they've completely revamped. They got an offensive coordinator, a different one, that, you know – isn't wasting the prime of Matt Ryan's career and now starting to be Julio Jones as well, he might have something there. If you get free, I don't know what's going to happen at the running back position. Coleman gone? He
probably
might be.
He'll get more money elsewhere.
Yeah, he'll get – so he might be gone. I don't know. You know, hopefully Freeman comes back. Is the judge, Ito Smith, is he going to be the backup? I like when he's in, but
yeah.
I don't know. You know,
I mean,
how
receiving
good
core
he
is good as it gets.
Receiving core should be good.
Yeah.
Hooper's actually – I think he's actually improved this year
at
tight end.
Yeah, he's been great. I thought
– he's done a nice job.
I thought in the first round you might want to look at a tight end if you're the Falcons.
Yeah.
But actually, like last draft, because I was looking at the – thinking they might want to get the guy – what's the guy from South Carolina that went to the
Raiders? Hurst.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe look at him. But then Hooper's been a solid tight end, no doubt, this year.
He has. He's done a nice job. So, those are the – I mean, that's what I think.
Yeah.
No one's going to ask me, though, but that's what I think.
You think Quinn's definitely safe this season?
I don't know about definitely.
Yeah.
But
if they lose out, that'd be bad.
Well, here's the thing. Do you think the soccer team winning the title, do you think that puts more pressure or a little bit less pressure on Quinn next year from Arthur Blank's perspective? And you could say more pressure because, oh, he's had a taste of it. Yeah, this championship thing is great. I want the Falcons to do this. Or do you think it eases it a little bit where he's like, all right, we got a championship here. We're good. We can't just completely, you know, disassemble this team because, you know, we got crushed by injuries and that kind of thing. I don't know. I'm not sure what the thinking would be on that.
I think it would be more pressure, but I'm not sure. One thing that's odd about Quinn, though, is, you know, you got to get a new bright offensive mind to make this.
Right.
Like, they're going to be looking for the next Sean McVay, Shanahan thing, the young, cool offensive coordinator.
Right.
And what's crazy, though, is, like, if they bring in one of those guys, he's just going to get hired by – and he's good. He's going to get hired as a head coach somewhere else in 2 years. So
yeah.
The thinking is, why not just get one of those guys your head
to
coach?
To be your head coach.
Yeah, I mean
– yeah,
so
I
doesn't
know.
Get taken away.
Like McVay, like the guy in Chicago.
Because McVay had no – he had really, you look at his resume, he had no right to get that job in L.A. And now he's like the genius of the whole entire NFL.
Guru.
Yeah, so it might not be, I don't know. I could see that logic from Arthur Blank and the management.
Yeah, no, happened. I mean, they got some things to try to figure out.
Yep.
I was just, Walter Football, I don't know if you ever go to that site.
Yeah,
it's a good site.
I had it pulled up.
Yeah, and they updated their mock draft today. And this draft coming up is not going to be as flashy because –
it's really defensive.
Exactly. And they've got number one, Nick Bosa, going to San Francisco. Number two, Quinnen Williams going to Arizona. Number three, Derek Brown from Auburn going to Oakland. They've got the Falcons picking fourth and taking Ed Oliver from Houston ahead of Jeffrey Simmons of Mississippi State. Now, I mean, the top offensive lineman, you were talking about offensive linemen, is Juwan Taylor from Florida.
Which I don't get that at all. I mean, he never has stood out to me, really.
Yeah,
I mean, I think he might have been, like, second team All-SEC a couple years, but I'd get a kid from Bama, probably. That'd be my
Jonah Williams is the guy that's – I don't know, where do they have him?
I saw on a different – on CBS, because I had it pulled up, like, 5 minutes ago. I was confused they had Juwan Taylor, and then the other one had Williams going, like, number – 3 overall or something on CBS.
Yeah, it's hard to get a complete feel on
number
it.
2 overall. Yeah, Jonah Williams.
By the way, this mock draft on Walter Football has DeAndre Baker going number 8 to Tampa. Number 8. All right, if you're DeAndre Baker, probably some people are going to get tired of this. I'm actually asking you a question here on the 5 of 5. Would you play in the Sugar Bowl?
Yeah, but I'd play, but I might get myself out of there after the first quarter, depending on how the game's
Coach,
going.
Coach, I'm good. I play. Coach Smart, I'm good. Hey, it's only the beginning of the second quarter. I know. Or maybe he's just like, oh, well, hammy's a little tight, Coach. I don't know. That is a tough call.
I would not blame him at all if he said
that. You know, I hate to say that, but I agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to sit here and go, no, you got to do it for the team. And if it were a playoff game,
I don't think it'd be totally different.
But, I get the fact that, like, I mean, it could be a multi-million dollar mistake.
It happened
to the tight end from Michigan.
Yeah, and then, what was it, Smith from Notre Dame, and he's on the Cowboys now.
Yeah,
You know, what's his name again?
I know who you're talking
he
about.
He broke his leg.
Yeah,
and he fell to the bottom of the first round. He's supposed to be, like, top 5.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's where I have a problem with this, is I see both sides of it.
And the guys that have skipped the bowl games, things have worked out pretty good for them. I think Christian McCaffrey was, like, the first one to start that trend, and he went 9th overall still.
It was interesting because he and Fournette both did it at the same time, and that's when it hit me that it was like, okay, this isn't a white-black thing. This isn't a rich-poor thing. Because McCaffrey's not, you know, he's –
no, his dad played in the NFL.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. So, I mean, it's
Will
hitting
Greer
these guys.
Yeah,
it's hitting these guys from all aspects of life. It's not just the poor guy that, you know, has 50 people hanging on him that need this money. I mean, it's everybody. Even like, you know, Nick Bosa, who announced in the middle of the season that he wasn't going to come back. I wasn't good with that one because Ohio State was still a part of the playoff picture at the time. I felt like he quit on his team.
Could you imagine like Roquan last year
after
the Florida game or something? Like, yeah, I'm done. Which he would never do that.
No. Or if he'd been hurt for a couple of games and he had this injury that might be lingering and he's just like, see ya, I'm out of here. That wouldn't have been – and by the way, Roquan's having a great season.
He is, yeah.
He is having a great season. All right, next question.
Next up, we got big game Thursday Night Football.
Yes,
Chargers,
here on the ref.
Chiefs. I'm really excited about it. Who do you got winning?
Let's see. The Chiefs -3.5, I think. Is that the number?
I can get it pulled.
Yeah. At least I don't know if it's moved a little bit. This is a terrific matchup.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs. And I don't, you know, on the gambling side of it, though, I don't know if I might take the points.
Okay.
So maybe Chiefs to win but not cover. What 30-29? I don't know. What do you got?
I think the Chiefs win, but it's like with Phillip Rivers, he never really gets that big win, you know, and this would be huge this year to get that.
As Sam and I like to joke, he's always 8 points down. Yeah. You know, it doesn't seem to matter. Like 8 points down in a game or like 8 points in a season. It just seems like the Chargers will get themselves in a position to do something and something happens. And even this year, what are they? They are 10-3. They've got the second best record in football. And if the playoffs started today, they'd be the 5 in the AFC because the Chiefs, you know, lead them in the division.
Yep.
I mean, does that not sum up San Diego or Los Angeles Chargers?
Yeah, you're right.
Calling them San Diego. If the playoffs started today, they're the 5. It's just bizarre.
They've had a great year.
Yeah. Absolutely. I was looking to see here. The Chiefs have outscored their opponents by 120 points, and the Chargers have outscored their opponents by almost 100. So the points differ. I mean, they've both been phenomenal. What are the Rams? Let's see here. 425-313. So they've outscored their opponents by over 100. And what are the Saints? Wow. 447-283. What's the math on that?
It's a lot. That's impressive.
It's 147 plus 17. So 164. Yikes.
For whatever reason, the Saints just don't like pop to me the way the Chiefs and the Rams do. I don't know why, what it is, because obviously they're on that same team.
Are you anti-Saints guy? Like,
No. See, I'm not a diehard Falcons fan.
Oh, you're not? Oh, okay.
I mean, I'd like to see him do well.
Do you have a favorite team?
No.
Oh, okay.
Really.
You don't have a favorite NFL team?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I love it. I watch it all the time, but there's nothing that like...
I'm not fantasy football.
Yeah,
though. Okay.
I don't lose sleep over losses for anybody.
Well, no. That's the thing. If the Dogs lose, my weekend's ruined. If the Falcons lose, I, you know, come to work the next day. That's basically that's how it is for me. I mean, I want the Falcons to win.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my team. That's the team I pull for, but I'm not invested in them like I am the Dogs.
I mean, they're probably my favorite team, but
it's
not. I'm not watching every Falcons game every Sunday, no matter what. If there's a better game on the other station, I'm watching
that. You going to watch the Falcons and the Cardinals on Sunday?
Probably not.
Come on, you don't want to see two teams, the fight for Quinnen Williams or the
Ed
fight
Oliver.
For Ed Oliver? You don't want to see that?
No, unfortunately not.
I know. It's a rough watch right now. It really is. So, anyway, did you get a number on that?
The spread?
Tonight's game?
Oh, no, I didn't play
that. Don't worry about it.
Okay,
don't worry about it. All right, what do you got? Next question, Ross.
Next up, more NFL. Lamar Jackson starting this week again, and it sounds like Joe Flacco is actually healthy and can play.
Yes.
What do you make of that whole situation? You think they're going with the hot hand and it's a good decision? Or
Yeah, I do. Especially if Jackson's their guy down the road.
You drafted him in the first round.
Yeah.
Play him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, Flacco will – like, I'm holding in my hand a baseball card. Hold on a second. Let me see here. Sam brought in some old baseball cards the other day, and we opened a pack on the air. And where's the one I was looking at here? I don't know what happened to it. Anyway, holding a card. It's not the same thing because he hadn't changed jerseys, but I'm holding a card of George Brett as a first baseman.
Yeah.
Not a third baseman. So later in his career – He moves. That's cool. In fact, the back of the card says, Brett moved from third base to first base last year. By the way, this was 1987. After being sidelined by knee injury following shoulder surgery in 86. Well, what it means is he, you know, was at the end of his career and he was hanging on by playing first base instead of third base. But the point I was making is Joe Flacco will be the guy on a card where it won't be in a Ravens uniform. It'll be in somebody else's uniform. Yeah. Like, I've got a Johnny Unitas football card of him in for the Chargers.
Yeah.
The end of his career. Not the Colts, but the Chargers. You know, that kind of thing. So I think where the Ravens are right now, they're the sixth seed.
They've won five straight with Lamar in?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because what is their record? They're 7-6.
Yeah, I think
so. They look like, yeah, they were floundering.
And it kind of reminds me almost like when Tebow was with the Broncos and it didn't look that pretty if you watch them, but their run game's really good. And for whatever reason, it's just clicking right. You know, things are going well with him in at quarterback. And why would you make the change?
And they actually lost in overtime this past weekend to the Chiefs.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
They had won three in a row before that. Now they're, so they ended up not winning, but they lost in overtime.
They gave the Chiefs probably, other than their, two losses, the best game they've had all year.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. I would say
Which really, I don't think they're talent-wise
Plus,
close
wasn't,
to the Chiefs.
It wasn't like the Ravens were tearing it up on offense when Flacco was in there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That just sounds like a tough one there. The Chiefs, so they got a 43-40 loss to the Patriots, and they got a 54-51 loss to the Rams. Those are their two losses, 43-40 and 54-51. So I need to change my score prediction, 40-39, not 30-29. I don't know. Hopefully, this is the last third. Did you know this was the last Thursday game of the year?
Sad, yeah.
I know. It's weird. I don't know why they don't play one next week. It's the 20th.
Yeah.
I mean,
there are games coming up like on Saturday.
There are games on Saturday. There's two games on Saturday. So, and then there's actually, what do you think of Christmas Eve Monday Night Football?
And it'll give me something to do.
While you're waiting
something
for
to
Santa.
Watch, yeah, while I'm waiting for
what
Santa.
Is it, the Broncos and the Raiders?
No,
so it's out on the West Coast.
That won't give me much
that
to
won't
do
get
then.
You going?
Yeah.
At least, though, for them, I mean, that'll be a 5 o'clock kickoff out there. But still, that's kind of weird. Christmas Eve. Yep. All right, do we have time for one more? Yeah, let's sneak one more in.
Right.
Head to the bottom of the list.
Oh, you want the last one?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, well, it's kind of weaved into what we've been talking about.
All right.
You got Saturday football now, NFL, Sunday football, Thursday night football. You got Maction on Tuesday, Monday, and really Thanksgiving week. You had football on every night.
Right.
What's your favorite night of the week to watch football?
You mean other than Saturday?
Any day.
Oh.
You can throw Saturday in. Well,
I mean,
Saturday's the obvious answer, then you can give me something else.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know about you, but I love when Georgia has a 3:30 kickoff. That's my favorite kickoff time.
Okay.
It's 3:30. I'd rather play 3:30 than at night. I mean, I don't dislike the night games.
Yeah.
But I love a 3:30 kickoff. You got friends in town. And now that I've gotten old, I'm, you know, this is an age thing too, because when you're younger, maybe it's a little bit different, but 3:30 kickoff, game's over by 7, work duties are done, you know, like an hour later. You either meet friends, have dinner, and watch the game. You know, friends come into town that you don't see all the time. You either go eat dinner or whatever with them, but you're watching the night games.
Yeah.
Or if you don't have anybody in town, you get home and you got the night. I mean, I just love settling in on Saturday night and having like 4 or 5 games on and just trying to, you know, where you're trying to watch every game at the same time. I love it. I mean, I do. And the Sunday night NFL game, that, you know, it's all right. But the thing about that one is I've probably been watching football all day. So I'm not – that one, it'll depend on the game. But, yeah, to me, I mean, it's Saturday night. I think the Super Bowl should be played on Saturday night. Instead of
I
Sunday
wish
night.
It was, because going to school or working this morning.
It's rough.
I mean, I can't imagine you every, however long you've been here,
I mean,
every
at least
Monday
they,
morning.
Yeah, they kick it off at 6:20 or whatever. I mean, it's over by like 9:30, but still, I mean, it. I mean, it just seems like it could just be a huge event on Saturday. But I understand the TV ratings thing and stuff. Sunday's different from Saturday, but still. What about you? Watching football.
I like probably – honestly, I love Monday and Thursday night just because it's different, you know? And also I like – see, I'm a little different where I like it – I kind of like one game on because I'm so ADD. Like, I'll have my computer up streaming one. Mm-hmm. Like when I'm in here doing the games, I got a game on there, a game on my computer the whole time.
Watching.
Because I feel like I'm missing out on stuff. But then while I'm doing that.
Is that called FOMO?
I guess. Yes. Yeah, FOMO, fear missing out.
Yes.
But then while I'm doing that, it's like I'm doing too much and I'm not really into one game. Now, once Georgia gets on, you know, I'm tuned
in
pretty
good.
Yeah, then
you lock into that.
But then. Or like Austin Peay, I wasn't really watching. I was watching other stuff.
No, I mean, obviously.
But I like the idea of more of having one game on because then I'm not as tempted to be peeking off at everything else.
I also say this. When I was a kid, I grew up in a household where small college football, Newberry and Presbyterian. My dad went to Presbyterian.
Oh, wow.
And
I almost went there.
Yeah, that's great. And a lot of my family went to Newberry. So they used to always play on Thanksgiving Day, the Battle for the Bronze Derby.
Okay.
And they would always play on Thanksgiving Day, I guess, you know, early at 2 or 3, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we would always eat Thanksgiving meal, like earlier, like 11:30 or 12 or whatever. And then as soon as we finished eating, me and my dad, my Aunt Myrtle, she went to Newberry. And even when she was, like, old – she would still go to the – she loved it. She would still go to the games. And that was, like, a great memory. So I like the Thursday – I love the Thursday Thanksgiving games, too. So after Saturday night, I would say the Thursday Thanksgiving.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I like those.
And going to that game every year was as a kid, it was just always a blast.
Yeah, I bet.
It was just a lot of fun. All right, good stuff, Ross. The 5 at 5 has been brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.